Let's take out our Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18 is where we find our text for this evening. And we're going to be reading the first seven verses together, but our text is found in verse 1. Verse 1 is our text. And the theme for this evening is growing weary as Christians. Growing weary. What causes a Christian to grow weary? And what is the spiritual antidote to spiritual weariness, which is a temptation that we all face? A weariness in the Christian life. So we're going to be reading from Luke chapter 18, the first seven verses entitled, the section here is entitled The Parable of the Persistent Widow. Luke chapter 18, the first seven verses. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, "In a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. There was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice, so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones, who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off?'" And that's as far as reading in God's word. May he add his blessing and increase upon it. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, why do we tend to grow weary? What causes people to become tired? When, at what point in our lives do we simply say it's too much? It's too much to expect. It's too hard. When do we tend towards sin instead of sanctity? What's usually, if you're like me, when you are tired, when you are hungry, when you are exhausted, that's when we are less likely to be vigilant and diligent. I just had a friend just a few weeks back that finished the full marathon, and she told me that when you get to mile 20 out of 26, you get to mile 20, it's like you hit a brick wall. Your body says, "I will go no further. This is it. I've given it everything I can. I must stop." Well, the Christian life is a marathon, isn't it? A Christian life is one that requires constant diligence of faithfulness. I'm thinking of the disciples that went with Jesus to the top of the mountain to pray with the Lord. And Jesus said to them, "Stand here, watch and pray. Be on guard. Be diligent. Be vigilant." And yet their eyes grew weary. And they fell asleep. Now, although it is true that salvation is by grace through faith, it is completely a sovereign gift that God grants to his people. We don't do anything in order to earn, gain, or add to our salvation. It is also true that being sovereignly saved, we are called to spend ourselves. I'm not very familiar with this tune, with this song that we just sang a few minutes ago, but I love that phrase, to spend and be spent, to give yourself, to fully give yourself to the work that Christ calls us to do. We are called to battle. As part of a militant church, part of that task is endurance, to stand firm. Today, our sermon is going to be a little bit different than normal because we're going to focus on one word. And that word in the Greek is ekasio, ekasio. And it means grow faint or weary. I'll say it again. The Greek word is ekasio, and it means to grow faint or to grow weary. And if you would look in your Greek dictionary, you will find that in the New Testament, there are two main situations or two main times when we as Christians are tempted to grow weary. The first one that we're going to consider is found here in Luke chapter 18, verse 1. It says here in the NIV to not give up. Literally, it's don't grow weary. Don't give up. And the second time we find this word is back in Galatians 6, verse 9, which we read earlier. Do not grow weary in doing good. So it's those two parallel commands. Don't grow weary in your prayers and don't grow weary in doing good. That's going to be the focus of our sermon this morning. And you remember that from last week, from Luke chapter 17, talking about the delay in Christ's return. We are living in that period of delay. Jesus has promised to come back. He has already defeated the enemies, but he's not yet here. It's in this period of delay that we are called to be faithful and to not give up. So today we're going to focus on the temptation to grow weary in these two tasks, weary in our prayers and weary in doing good. And we're going to look at this theme that Jesus Christ encouraged us to not grow weary in our Christian living. So then our first point, we're going to be looking at Luke 18, verse 1. And I'm going to read that here. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up or not grow weary. To grow weary in your prayer is to grow faint, to become exhausted so that you are no longer doing what you once did. For example, weariness in prayer means that our prayers become thoughtless, our prayers become repetitive, our prayers no longer have depth. Weary prayers are thankless prayers. Weary prayers are prayers that are superficial. They deal with what we see, what we can hold, and usually focus upon what we have. Sometimes weariness in prayer means that we simply forsake the call to pray. We give up in the hour of prayer. Weariness is a constant temptation when it comes to praying. Because as we pray, we may start with great vigor. It's like starting a race. We sprint out of the gate. We hear a sermon on prayer. Yes, I need to do that. Yes, I need to pray more. And we are faithful and we diligent. We storm heaven's gates with our prayers. And then mile 20 hits. And we get discouraged. We ask for what we think we ought to ask for, yet we don't have. We see little change. We're tempted to give up. Where once we were filled with vigor, now we only pray because we're supposed to pray. It's part of our tradition. We pray before we eat and after we eat, like we should do. Yet little thought goes into it anymore. And here's a helpful little test that I give you. If you were to sit down this night and make a list of everything you have prayed for in this past day, and if God would, in his sovereign grace, grant you everything that you had prayed for, every petition he answered with a yes, what would change? Would we simply be healthier, our children doing well? Would we like our jobs and be well paid and have good health? Or would our world, would our communities be changed? Would there be a worldwide difference if God would give us everything we had asked for? Would the benefit be seen only in a stable job and personal blessings? Or would the lost be gathered and the church strengthened? Well, that's a helpful little test to plumb the depth, to remind us that we need to be diligent in what we pray for. And indeed, the parable here given in Luke chapter 18 is the spiritual antidote, if you will, reminding us how we are to pray. And the opposite of weariness in prayer is given to us at the very beginning. Verse 1 starts, Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray. That they should not give up, that they should not grow weary, that they should not throw in the towel, that they should, like this persistent widow, keep crying out to God for justice. And right at the very beginning, this is kind of unique in the parables, because right at the beginning of this parable, Jesus tells you what the point of the parable is. Usually when Jesus tells a parable, he'll leave it with his hearers, and then he'll go back later with his disciples and explain it to them. But Jesus right here at the very beginning says, this is why I'm telling you this parable, so that you don't grow weary and you don't give up. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17 puts it this way, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So the command is given, don't grow weary, don't give up, pray without ceasing, but there is an added benefit. As you come to the end of this parable, as you come to verse 7, you will find that Jesus not only gives us a command, he gives us a promise. And what the promise does is it reinforces the command. Why should we listen to this command of Jesus? Well, verse 7 says this, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. Jesus says, don't grow weary, don't grow tired, don't give up on your prayers. Why? Because God hears you, and he will give you the justice that you need. The encouragement for being consistent in our prayers is not in your and my reliability. Right? The encouragement for consistency in prayer is drawn from the character of our God and his promises. Our God is delighted to both hear and answer our prayers, and I tell you, he will give justice to his children. Who is the one that we are praying to? It is our Heavenly Father. Heavenly, meaning that he from the very courtroom, from the throne room of heaven, from where he rules and reigns, from the highest glory, he is your Father, your loving Father. A father that loved his children so much that he sent his beloved son to die on the cross, a bitter and shameful death, to secure your salvation. That's the one you're praying to. And if he loved you so much that he gave us the most precious, costly possession, which is Jesus Christ, will he not also give you everything you need? Yes, he will. So don't give up on your prayer. But not only do we have the character of our Father, we have the character of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is interceding for us at the very right hand of his Father in glory. He is pouring out the blessings that he has secured, and he is pouring out his Spirit. The very same Spirit that dwells in our hearts, putting into words the groans of our hearts, our cries, are translated, made acceptable and pleasing through the works of Jesus Christ. In our prayers, we are not left alone. We are not given a bald command, now go and do. We are given the encouragement of knowing that we are coming to a loving Father who will surely hear and answer his children. If anyone has any needs, let him ask of God, as James will say, but let him ask without doubt. Let him ask with a heart of faith, believing, persevering, knowing that God will surely hear and answer the prayers of his children. So the first way in which we find this word to become discouraged or to give up, to lose heart, is in the context of prayer. Don't give up in your prayers. Don't be discouraged by what you see and what you don't see. Remember the God to whom you pray. Remember the character of God and his promises. And it's in that truth that you find encouragement to persevere in your prayer. But the next place we find this word, to be discouraged, to lose heart, to grow weary, is found in Galatians 6, verse 9, where we find this. Do not grow weary in doing good. That's Galatians 6, verse 9. To grow faint, or to grow tired, to give up, or to be worn out in this holy task which is our good fruit, which is our reasonable response, our responding to that which God has given to us. And if you're following along in Galatians 6, you'll find that right in the next verse, in verse 10, we are told specifically to do good to all, and especially within the household of faith. Now, if good fruit is the necessary outworking of the Spirit within us, right? How do you know a tree is living? Well, look for the fruit. Look for the consequence. Well, if that's the necessary and thankful response of a Christian, why would anyone grow weary in this task? What obstacles do we face that might discourage us from persevering in the life of godly obedience? Well, the fact is, we face, as our song from a few minutes ago, we face both enemies from without and enemies within. Right? The enemies without are those who do not want to see the church being faithful. Right? The devil does not want the church to be faithful in her work. The devil wants the church to be a social club. The devil wants the church to be a place where people get together, take care of themselves, doing things that they enjoy with no care for those who are outside and having no influence upon those who are outside. But not only do we have enemies out there, we have enemies in here. Because weariness in doing good comes from a weakness of the sinful flesh. If you were like me, your body grows tired, your mind distracted. It's easier at the end of a long day to sit on a couch, recline your feet, and say, I'm done, I'm packing it in, I'm finished, right? When we think of what could be done, what should be done, what the Lord has put upon my heart, and you might remember that Galatians 6 says, as much as you have an opportunity, right? As much as you have a situation where you see and you have the ability to meet that need, right? Like the Good Samaritan kind of a situation, you're there and you can help. As much as it depends on you, that opportunity that God gives you. But the weakness that you and I have is we tend to think that we've done enough. I've already done what I can. I'm retiring from the fight. My body can't take it anymore. I've grown weary. It seems like all I do is give and give and give and serve and serve and serve. And I have all these commitments and responsibilities. I'm done. I'm tired. I'm weary of doing good. Seems like all I do is help others, and the people I help aren't very thankful. We become weary when we look for results. We become discouraged when we don't see the changes in others when we do good for them. All the programs that we've tried as a church, all the outreach, all the times that we've tried to give a good defense for the hope that's in our heart, all the witnessing that we've done, all the sacrificial service, all the faithful giving, and for what? Although we don't like to think this way, we tend to become pragmatic. Pragmatic is simply this. If it doesn't work and I don't see results, I'm going to stop doing it. We think it's not worked in the past, so we give up. No one has come to our church because of what I've said or what I've done. So why keep these programs going? Why keep sacrificially giving to the church? Why keep doing good? Not to mention how hard it is to find volunteers anymore. We're so busy with our schools or our family or our work, etc., etc., etc. We become weary of doing good. But Jesus here in this verse, in the preceding verses, says, do not grow weary or tired, but rather persevere in doing good. Now, what does Jesus say in the context here? If you still have your Bibles open, you can find in the previous verses that Jesus says, you need to sow to the Spirit. Be faithful in your charity. Support a Christian church and ministries. Bring your tithes and offerings. Seek an opportunity to do good to all and especially to the household of faith. Share all your good things with your teachers. Bear one another's burdens and let your light shine before men. A few weeks ago at our elders' meeting, we actually had this very discussion. How tempting it is to grow weary in doing good. How as a church, we have a mindset which is missional and evangelical, but it's hard to keep doing it. I mean, it's understandable. It's understandable that God's people grow weary from time to time. I have seen great sacrificial service in certain members in our church. I have seen how much has been offered as a living sacrifice of praise. But the fact remains, elders, by the time they come to their final year in service, they can get bogged down. It happens. Teachers get tired. Even pastors can feel like, I can't keep coming up with something new. Parents grow weary of the constant service and sacrifice that is necessary for the raising of their children and rearing them in the fear and knowledge of the Lord. We live in a fallen world, and we get tired. But Jesus here is coming to us and says, don't give up. Don't throw on the towel. You're not there yet. You have not yet arrived. And even the Lord uses members of the church family to encourage us from time to time. Sometimes, perhaps you have been the recipient of a card or a phone call or a letter or just an encouraging word from someone in the congregation saying, hey, brother, hey, sister, I'm there for you. I'm thinking of you. Thank you for the work that you're doing. And it's an encouragement to persevere and to not give up. These works of mercies are encouraged as we see others encouraging us. But Jesus here gives us a promise. And I want to read this. So turn with me in your Bibles to Galatians, back to Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Galatians 6, verse 9 says this, let us not become weary in doing good. Don't get wore out in doing good. Why not? Here's the promise. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have an opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who belong to the household of faith. Do not give up, brother or sister in Christ, because you will reap a harvest. There is a promise of a harvest for those who sow to the Spirit. They will reap a spiritual harvest. Good works are not only necessary, they are good for your own soul. They encourage you. And they are good for others. Scattering the seed. All your good works, your outreach and evangelism, your charity and service, it will produce a change. Now, the fact is, you may never see that change. You may live your entire life serving, ministering, sacrificing, doing good to all as much as you have the opportunity, and you may never see the harvest. But it's promised. Right? Even Paul had to say this in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 6. I planted, another watered, but God added the increase. Your good works may mean that people join another church. That they become members of another church. It may be that word that you spoke, that word that was full of grace and seasoned with salt, was exactly what someone needed to hear at that specific time. You may never know. But you are promised that God sees these things and he rewards these things with a harvest. Now, it must also be said, harvest takes time. Harvest takes time. Just last week, Caleb was in my backyard planting a pumpkin seed. And he came to me the next day and said, "Dad, where's the pumpkin plant?" I had to explain to him, these things take time. A harvest doesn't happen overnight. Sometimes our work of sowing and watering, it takes time. Sometimes even a generation. But your labor in the Lord is not in vain. So Jesus Christ says to us as a church, don't give up, don't get weary, don't be discouraged. I see the work that you are doing, and I will say to you on the day that I return, well done, good and faithful servant. When I was in prison, you visited me. When I was weary and heavy laden, you helped lift that burden from my shoulders. When I was parched, you gave me a cup of cold water in the name of Jesus Christ. The service you did to others, you did it unto me. Come and enter into the joy of my Father's kingdom. To conclude, weariness is a constant temptation for us within the church. We tend to grow tired because we don't see results. We tend to question the importance of our prayers and doing good when we don't see the immediate fruit. But as 2 Thessalonians 3, this is the third location that we find this very same word, that word that we're considering. Brothers, do not grow weary in doing good. So Jesus Christ encourages us to persevere in our prayers and persevere in our doing good. And the way that he encourages us is by giving us promises. Promises which show the character of our God. That he, as our loving Father, will hear and does hear and will answer the prayers of his people. And he sees the works of his children. And he blesses that labor with a harvest in his time. So don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Don't say, I can't do this. It's not working. It's not important. Remember that God is faithful. That he sees what you are doing. And he will say to you on that last day, well done, good and faithful servant. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the encouragement here found in your word. The encouragement to persevere, to not give up, but to be faithful, to run the race. We do pray, Lord, that you would give us the endurance that we need. We thank you for the perseverance of the saints. We thank you, Lord, that if our lives were dependent upon our ability to stand fast and stand firm, O Lord, no one would stand. But we thank you that you have given us your Spirit. And by the Spirit, we might be encouraged to pray. And by the Spirit, we might be enabled to do the good work that you have called and prepared us in advance to perform. We do pray, O Lord, that you would bless the labor of our hand. And that you would answer our prayers according to your sovereign will. And help us to be cheerful in our obeying your commands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.